Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I sat down with pianist John Kimura Parker when he was in town to play the original jazz band version of Rhapsody in Blue with the Philadelphia Orchestra. We talked about how this version is different from the lush orchestral version that's so well known today.
This is kind of the slightly dirtier version. I mean, with all the saxophones, with the banjo coming through the texture, you can actually hear the tin pan in Tin Pan Alley with this version.
It's so evocative, too. I understand he wrote it in about 4 weeks while he was on a train, and it was meant to be a musical kaleidoscope of America. What are you thinking about when you play it?
Well, I can't help but think of New York, and there's a certain sense of, although I think the original title for this piece, for Rhapsody in Blue, was going to be American Rhapsody. And Gershwin was on record as saying that he wanted to depict all the sounds, like you said, all the sounds of America. But because of his close association with New York, and of course the fact that it's been used in Woody Allen's Manhattan, and you really start to feel that sense of, you know, Gotham and the excitement of that era. And it comes through in so much of the music. I mean, you heard the clarinet and the trumpets and the brass all making, you know, really jazzy effects with their instruments that, frankly, these incredible players of the Philadelphia Orchestra rarely get to let loose like that.
I was going to say, this version, aside from being smaller forces, seems to showcase the instruments in the orchestra more.
Well, part of the reason for that is that it's a much smaller orchestra in terms of the thickness of sound. In fact, there were no violas and no cellos. I mean, there's a viola joke in the making in there somewhere, you know, but there's literally no violas and cellos. There's only one bass, one tuba holding down the bass line, and there's violins, which give you that sort of orchestral feeling of just at least hearing strings. But what really is coming through is all the brass instruments and the woodwind instruments are coming through in a way that in most symphonic repertoire, they're always fighting to be heard. And in this piece, they're up front and center.
Is your piano part different in any way?
Hardly at all. There are a couple of minor changes. There's one place where the orchestral part is actually a little bit longer in this original version. It's only a few measures, but it throws everybody off guard who's played the piece. You're like, wait, that's not, oh yeah, that's right in this version, you know. But the piano part's very similar. And there are parts of the piano part where I feel also like I can come through the texture a little more easily because I don't have that full complement of string sound creating too thick a sound to compete with. And so I approach the piece a little differently when I play this original Paul Whiteman Orchestra version. I feel like I can emphasize the beats a little more, get a little bit more of that sort of drum set sound into my part at the piano. It's a place where I can actually enjoy the fact that the piano is, by definition, a percussion instrument. And of course, we fight that perception all the time. And, you know, you play Chopin, and you play Rachmaninoff, and you want to make the piano sing, and you want to hide the fact that you're hitting a key, which is hitting a hammer, which is hitting a string. But in this piece, you can actually enjoy that.
It's such a distinctive piece. The way you describe it, it seems like chamber music, but also with this sense of jazz.
It's so many things at once. I mean, it is a classical piece in the sense that it's for piano and orchestra. It is not a classical piece in the sense of structure, the way that Beethoven would write a piano concerto, or Chopin would even write a piano concerto. It doesn't have the classical structure elements. And that was probably Gershwin's principal weakness as a classical composer, was the idea of development and structure and putting things together and maybe having alternate themes that fight and have a resolution. All of those principles of classical training, despite his really wanting to learn them, that was not so much a part of him. What was really innate for Gershwin was this incredible sense of melody, of rhythm, of color, and as we've spoken about, evoking an era. I mean, that is so incredible in his music. And I think Bernstein made a reference to that once and said, you know, this is some of the greatest music you can imagine. It's very episodic. It doesn't flow in the same way that a classical piece does, but it's brilliant nonetheless.
At its premiere, it was billed as an experiment in music and a jazz piece, but not a jazz piece because it's all written down. Yet, it's supposed to sound as if perhaps it wasn't all written down.
There's a sense, because there are many solo piano cadenzas, there is that sense that the pianist has freedom to roam a little bit. You know, the standard classical piano concerto generally will have one solo cadenza, usually near the end of the first movement. This piece has a cadenza very near the beginning, several very long ones in the middle, and a more virtuoso toccata-like one near the end. You know, he was writing the piece also to play himself and to show what he could do. In fact, there really aren't any places where he indicates that one should improvise. He really wanted to write it out. He probably would have welcomed the idea of improvisation, but I think for him to be taken seriously as a classical composer, he wanted to write it all out.
Well, I gather it was successful in its time for bridging the two genres, at least in people's minds.
Very much so. And I think Gershwin always, of course, had this jazz element and the Broadway element and the real songwriting, you know, that element, and was all part of him. And he went from Rhapsody in Blue, which was an experiment, basically, to then writing, for example, the Concerto in F, which really has three movements, just like a standard piano concerto, and a little more closely adheres to the typical form of a piano concerto. And so he was really working in that direction. But all those elements come together in his music, which makes Gershwin unique, I think, in the world of composers. There's no one who sounds like him. I wish he'd written more music. It's tragic that he didn't live longer. It's extraordinary, and it's incredibly fun to play.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.